It's Wednesday, and every Wednesday, we're joined by one of the oldest, one of the biggest, one of the best veteran service organizations out there. I'm speaking, of course, of the American Legion. And today, our special guest is their TBI and PTSD programs coordinator, Ryan Britch. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us, and welcome to the Morning Briefing.
Good morning, Eric. It's good to be with you.
You are a veteran yourself, and we'll talk about that first. So, Ryan, tell me a little bit about your service, when you joined, where you're from, and what you did while you were in.
Sure. So Eric, I was born and raised in Vermont. I joined the Vermont Army National Guard in 2007, and I was activated in 2009. I was Army Infantry and went to the remote mountains of Afghanistan, and I spent a year on the border there.
Mm. Which part of Afghanistan is that in?
Paktia. Mm. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the area, but with Gardez, Azad, Cop Herrera.
So you served, you deployed to Afghanistan. Now, when did you actually leave the Army?
So I got off, well, I returned home from Afghanistan, and this would have been December of 2010.
2010, which was a time when things were starting to wind down for the military, but the military had quite a bit of practice with the surge and everything and helping
exactly.
People get out. What was the transition process for you, Ryan? What was it like when you got out? Did it go well? Did it not go well?
So I had a few ups and downs. I got home and I decided I was going to be a ski bum for a few months before I went to college. And my transition to college was a bit difficult. I did feel like a fish out of water. So I guess the initial experience was a bit difficult. There was some transition into getting into school and getting the hang of things. But around my sophomore year, I finally got in the hang of school and the hang of work. And I feel like that's when I truly came home.
You know, a lot of us who went to college at an older age because of our service in the military mm-hmm. experience that, as some people call it, Billy Madison syndrome, for those familiar mm-hmm. with the Adam Sandler film. Also, just a different lifestyle where you're dependent fully on yourself, essentially, to get to class, to do everything there, and you're dealing with things that are just different, and sometimes it does take a period of adjustment. Mm-hmm. What was it that helped you, Ryan, do you think? Was it just time? Is that all you needed to adjust to that college lifestyle, or was there anything in particular that sticks out as that changed things for you?
So there were a few things that I struggled with. One was I did have this feeling where if you ever told a fellow student that you were a veteran, their view of you had changed. You could almost see mm-hmm. it in their eyes. So I went from this guy who I wanted to be invited to a after class barbecue or maybe grab coffee. I almost had this view in people's eyes that I was a ticking time bomb. Like mm-hmm. almost they didn't trust you. Like, when is this guy going to snap? When is he going to PTSD out?
Yeah, and that's another thing, that those preconceived notions that people have of veterans, which have there been instances like that? Yeah, I suppose there have been, but you got to remember, there's millions of us out there, and if
exactly.
we all snapped, you'd have mm-hmm. a pretty big problem on your hands.
Yeah.
So that's one of those things, and younger people especially don't have the life experience to really understand that, I think, and to know a lot of veterans mm-hmm. other than those who they meet.
Yeah.
Did you feel any sort of pressure to be a good example to them as a veteran in college?
So one of the things that stuck out most to me during my college experience was the statement that one of my college professors had made, pretty much made the statement that veterans were people who are on the fringe of society. The military recruits people who they can easily brainwash to go fight for oil. They can't make it in the regular civilian world. And I took that as a challenge, and I was going to prove her wrong. And I brought my GPA up, and I got a few internships, and I excelled, and just like millions of other veterans are doing.
Yeah, and anytime anybody has those sort of sentiments and actually puts them forward to a veteran, they might be hoping for a reaction. The most typical reaction is the one that you gave. I'm going to show you mm-hmm. by outperforming your expectations. So
exactly.
Good on you for doing that. Now, eventually, mm-hmm. you would finish school and you would come to be a part of the American Legion and mm-hmm. working for the Legion. Tell me how that came to be.
Yeah, so it was actually, after college, I did feel this desire to continue serving and giving back in some way. So I ended up volunteering for the Peace Corps, and I recently have gotten back from 27 months in the Peace Corps in Swaziland.
Wow, the Peace Corps in Swaziland. Yeah. So was that, I've always wondered, because I've heard about people going into the Peace Corps, including some veterans, similar to the military in some ways as far as going over mm-hmm. there? Was it like a deployment for you?
It was, you wouldn't believe the amount of similarities. The only difference was I didn't have my rifle.
Mm, yeah, well, when Peace Corps is in the yeah. title, you're probably
especially with with the counterinsurgency operations we were doing in Afghanistan. There's a lot of transition. You're working with local counterparts. You're trying to work yourself out of a job, and you're trying to learn the language and work with local people.
Wow. So you've already had quite a bit of experience since leaving the military. I mean, we left around the same time. I got out 2011, so 7-8 years now, I guess it is. And it sounds like things are working out fairly well for you. And you're doing some great work with the American Legion. As I mentioned, we're speaking with Ryan Britch. Ryan is the TBI and PTSD programs coordinator at the American Legion. So, Ryan, let's talk a little bit about the programs that the Legion has to address the issues, the dual issues of TBI and PTSD. What can you tell us about the Legion's programs?
Awesome. So one of the things I do is I investigate a lot of the existing research, a lot of the medicines and the programs and methods that are used, not only by VA, but also the CAM therapies to treat PTSD and TBI.
And there's a lot going on in there. Now, we have suicide issues that are directly related, as far as anyone can tell, to TBIs and PTSD. There's a lot of work to be done here. It's obvious to everyone. Even if we've seen supposedly the number go from 22 veterans a day to 20 a day, it's still way too many. What can you tell us about the research as it relates to suicide and the suicide rates, suicide numbers per day? I mean, what direction are we moving on all of that?
So this is one thing I really have to commend VA on. I feel bad for a lot of the guys. They get up in front of the Senate or the House Veterans Affairs Committee, and some of the guys get ripped apart. But this is one thing I really have to commend VA on, is they're doing a fantastic job in terms of suicide and response. They've recently expanded the Veterans Crisis Line. So these are 500 employees. They're master's level counselors and social workers who are working for the crisis line. They're also campaigning to destigmatize mental illness. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the hashtag Be There campaign.
Yes.
That's one of the things that I'm really excited about. I feel like a warm and understanding community is key for a healthy transition.
And they have it's not just hashtag activism, though. The VA's got a lot of great programs to try and address the issue and reduce the risk of suicide, don't they?
So they've recently expanded their integrative health and wellness programs. And so you've seen a lot of stuff there in terms of, let's say, meditation and yoga, trying to instill an overall healthy wellness.
Right.
And so they're also implementing a lot of acupuncture and chiropractic care.
They're looking outside the box. Now, there are people who will say that acupuncture and chiropractic care are junk science, but you know what? Even if it's a placebo effect, if it's making people feel better and being done properly, what's the harm in that, I would say? And I like the fact that the VA is looking at that stuff.
And I'm glad you brought up the placebo effect, because a lot of these medications that VA is prescribing our veterans are scientifically not proven to be effective, and some of them are less effective than the placebo.
Placebo effect is something that the meaning has kind of changed over time a little bit. The fact that believing that something is happening essentially can cause change and cause improvement, again, that may be enough. If you think acupuncture works for you, you go get acupuncture. If you think chiropractic care works for you, go to see a chiropractor. To me, it doesn't matter, as long as it's working towards dropping that suicide rate and increasing the lifespan of the veteran community in general. Other things that they're doing include outdoor therapy. Now, I just spent a weekend outdoors having a great time with some of my veteran friends. It's something that certainly clears the mind, refreshes the batteries. What is the VA doing with outdoor stuff?
Yeah, so I'm really glad you bring that up. And that's actually not something that VA is really highlighting, but it's something that a lot of veterans can do outside of the VA. And so I believe that there's a lot of healing power in the outdoors. And if we look back to not only Thoreau and Emerson, but if we go back into the ancient times, you would see a lot of people doing ceremonies or being outdoors to find solace and peace. If you look at like the ancient Greeks, a lot of them would come home from war and they would go out into the wilderness to find their peace.
Right.
Or if you look at ancient ceremonies with the young boys becoming men, they would go out into the wilderness and they would find themselves.
I can speak for just this weekend being out in a goose blind and sitting there in 20 degree weather and the calmness. You just get this sense of serenity, you know, until the geese show up, and that's a whole different thing. But being outdoors, being in nature, some of my best moments, I think, of clarity since I left the military have come being in the outdoors and being around out there. So that's huge. Why do you think they're not shining such a light on that? Do you think there's any reason for it, or do they just not see it as something that people be that interested
in? I believe that the VA is relying on a lot of their community partners and a lot of nonprofit organizations. For example, when I got home from Afghanistan, I had a social worker at VA refer me to an Outward Bound program. which I found extremely transformational. I remember we started paddling in the Everglades in the brackish, muddy waters, and we slowly made our way to the Gulf of Mexico, and the waters opened up and they became more blue, which I found to be an amazing experience. And one of the things I attribute to my healthy transition.
Wow. Yeah, that could certainly, I could see how that would be something. You know, it's amazing. We can sit at home and watch Netflix and be like, oh, what a great show. There's nothing compares to some of the things I've seen when I was just out walking around with my family and having fun out in the woods, out in the mountains, wherever you go. When we look at the issues of TPI and TBI and PTSD, my apologies, there are a lot of people out there doing a lot of great things to address this issue. There are people starting up nonprofits that that are working to address it. There are people that are just volunteering. And that in particular sticks out to me. What do you think volunteers can add to this fight against veteran suicide, PTSD, and TBI?
So one of the things I struggled with, and I'm sure you can relate, coming home, I definitely feel like I lost a lot of my purpose and a lot of my meaning. And I also missed my brothers in arms. I missed the camaraderie. And so you'll see a lot of new post 9/11 veterans who are setting up these organizations, take Team Rubicon or the Mission Continues, for example. And they're giving vets these community service projects, or they're responding to disasters, and they're getting back their sense of purpose and their self-efficacy.
That's huge. And there are, you know, I think people think of PTSD in particular and think, I need to be affected by it to understand it. And you don't even need to understand it to know that you can help out your brothers and sisters in arms who might be suffering from it. And just by your being there, just by your reaching out, being a shoulder to lean on, an ear to listen, you could help save a life. I mean, that's basically what we're talking about here, isn't it?
Definitely. By just in the fact of getting out there and trying to change other people's lives, you might in fact change your own life. And you just turn on the news, you can see that our country needs you. There's mudslides, there's fires, there's tornadoes, there's floods, there's parks that need to be rebuilt, and there's schools that need to be, you know, repainted. So getting out there and helping out your community and changing lives is something that could you know, help you.
That's definitely a benefit of it, but not really the reason to do it. You're not doing it for yourself. That's just one of those fringe benefits that comes along, and you'll find if you go out and volunteer to do some of this great work. We're speaking with Ryan Britch. Ryan is the TBI and PTSD programs coordinator at the American Legion, and we're talking to him about the work that the Legion is doing to address the issues that come along with those traumatic brain injuries and post-traumatic stress. We've talked about the programs. We've talked about the generalities. Let's talk about the individuals, the people that are out there suffering. What can they do? What should they do? If they start feeling like they're stuck in that mud, if they start feeling like they're moving towards a bad and dark place, what should they do, Ryan?
So first off, there's always the Veterans Crisis Line, and you can reach that 1-800-273-TALK, and you press 1 for the option to speak for a veterans counselor. Another thing I believe is most important is looking at overall health and wellness, almost like a bicycle spoke. There's many different aspects to your overall health and wellness. And so, for example, you need to make sure that you're eating healthy. How's your nutrition doing? Are you sleeping okay? Are you physically healthy? You know, you remember this from the military: healthy body, healthy mind. What's your intellectual activity like? Are you reading any books, or are you watching the Kardashians on TV? So there's multiple different aspects of your overall health and wellness. You also have to make sure, what are your personal relationships like? What are your professional relationships like? Are you happy at work? Or are you working for a boss who doesn't appreciate you, and you feel like that's affecting you? There's multiple aspects to your overall health and wellness.
What are some of the things that the Legion provides, whether it's to members or to veterans in general who might be getting to that point where they're having some issues with PTSD?
So one of the things I'm working on is we're currently trying to draft up an update to one of our old publications, and this will be a great resource for veterans to see what types of resources are out there, what alternative therapies are out there, and what can you get, what types of benefits and care can you get at the VA. So this will be a great resource for not only veterans, but for families and for the public as well.
That's another key that we need to talk about, is the fact that you have the veterans themselves who are affected directly, and then the indirect effect on family members. And, you know, even if someone's sitting out there and they're thinking, well, I'm single, you know, I'm my family. This isn't affecting my family. What about your parents? What about your siblings, your cousins, your aunts, your uncles? Exactly. I mean, most people have some sort of family support network. What can we do to help families deal with this and let them know what they can do to get the help that they might need?
I think a lot of it is spreading the word on the types of care options that are out there to help your family member or your veteran become whole again.
One of the things that I read about you doing as part of your job is developing publications that actually help mm-hmm. people learn about these programs. Mm-hmm. How big of an issue do you think lack of awareness is now?
It's a huge issue. There's so many people that call me on the phone every week, and they tell me about their issues and what they're struggling with. And then I'll tell them what VA is doing, especially about their integrative health and wellness program. And a lot of them had no idea that you can go get acupuncture at VA.
Mm. And that's fairly new. I mean, mm-hmm. it's a fairly recent development in the chiropractic care. Mm-hmm. And again, there were people who fought it for various reasons we don't need mm-hmm. to go into right now. Mm-hmm. But if it's having that effect on the mental health of someone, mm-hmm. what's the difference? If it's not hurting them physically, that's what I always say. What's exactly. the difference if it's helping them in that way? Where do you think we go from here? Now, as mm-hmm. I said, the suicides a day allegedly mm-hmm. dropped from 22 to 20 now. Mm-hmm. That's still mm-hmm. 365 times 20 is too big of a number for me to count to because mm-hmm. I'm not so good at math. It's a lot of people. Yeah. Where do we go next? What's the next step in mm-hmm. this battle against this epidemic?
So I think it was in 2010, the veteran suicide rate was about 22 per day. And while it is down to 20 now, we can't forget that the actual amount of veterans has decreased. So while in 2010, we had about 22 million veterans in our country, a lot of the World War II and Korean era veterans have passed on. And so our actual total number of veterans is 18 million. And so while the number of veterans has gone down, the rate has actually increased. Mm. A particular concern is among women veterans and among our youngest veterans.
That is something that a lot of people don't think about. And when you start looking at the numbers as a history buff, the numbers involved in World War II, as far as the military, are staggering. I mean, it's at a time there were almost as many people serving just in the Navy in World War II as we've had on active duty military mm-hmm. at any other time. Mm-hmm. The number of ships that we had, the number of aircraft, tanks, mm-hmm. they were the largest percentage of the veteran community, and now there are fewer and fewer left every day. They're mm-hmm. reaching, I mean, if you fought in World War II, you're in your late 80s at least, and that's mm-hmm. if you lied about your age. Mm-hmm. That's something where the rate and the total number is, it's significant. So we're seeing a lower number, where you're saying, but we're actually seeing a higher percentage. Yeah.
And another thing I hear a lot of people talk about is they'll refer, American rates of post-traumatic stress disorder to Israeli rates of post-traumatic stress disorder. Mm. So Israeli soldiers have very low rates. We're talking 1-2% of post-traumatic stress. And a lot of people will contribute that to the fact that they do resiliency classes among their military members. The one thing that I will compare American culture to Israeli culture is that when Israeli soldiers come home from the battlefront, they're surrounded by people who understand them and people who have served alongside them because right. of their universal conscription. And that's not something I'm advocating for, but one thing I'm a huge supporter of is more understanding of our military members. I feel like most of our veterans would have an easier transition if they're more understood at home.
And that's certainly a big key. And being understood at home is not just your spouse, not just your parents, it's everyone around you. It's your professors in college, like mm-hmm. the one that you had that mm-hmm. basically said that you were nothing but a ticking time bomb. It's yeah. it's understanding on large levels is necessary, including understanding by the VSOs who mm-hmm. have really taken great strides and I think have been ahead of the power curve when compared to the federal government specifically on what veterans need. How happy are you with the work that the Legion is doing, but do you think that you guys can do more to address these issues?
Well, there's always more to do, and especially with the veteran suicide rate increasing, there's always more to do, but as of what the American Legion is doing and what VA is currently doing to fight the suicide, the high rates of suicide I'm quite happy with it.
Now, Ryan, if people, whether they're Legion members or non-Legion member veterans, if they have questions or concerns about TBI, PTSD, if they want to find out more about what the Legion is doing to address these, is there anybody that they can reach out to at the Legion for answers to some of those questions?
So I would definitely be the point of contact for any TBI or PTSD-related questions. You can reach me at 1-202-263-5767 with any questions. Or if you prefer to get online, you're more than welcome to check out our website.
And that website, again, is legion.org. And we've been speaking with the TBI and PTSD programs coordinator for the Legion, Ryan Britch. Ryan, what's the one thing that you would like people to know about the work that the Legion is doing, as well as, you know, other organizations that you guys see doing great work out there? What's the biggest takeaway that you want the population and veterans in general to know about?
So one of the things that most attracted me to the American Legion is that we're really the avant-garde of focusing on complementary and alternative therapies. So this is beyond merely medicating our veterans, but actually finding solutions to the problems. What is the root cause and how can we fix that?
And there is a way forward on this. This isn't a hopeless battle, is it, Ryan?
Exactly.
There's still victories to be won.
In the honor of Martin Luther King Jr., he has this quote that always really sticks with me. If you cannot fly, run. If you cannot run, walk. If you cannot walk, crawl. But whatever you must do, continue to move forward. And while this quotation from Martin Luther King Jr. is regarding civil rights, I do believe that it also can be utilized for this.
Yeah, certainly. I think it applies universally, and I think you'd be hard-pressed to find many people who disagree with that, and I think you'd be hard-pressed to find many groups out there doing as good work to battle the scourges of PTSD and related to TBIs or separately than the American Legion and Ryan Britch. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us today.
It was great to be here. Thank you.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.